Well, this morning we're going to continue a series. Now, I didn't tell you this, but last week I really started a new series. I didn't tell you I did, but I really did. Because our new series is entitled Conversations with Jesus. Conversations with Jesus. And how many know, if we're going to be dealing with people every day, if we're going to be in our community being salt and being light, I'd like to know, and I'd like for us to look at, how did Jesus deal with people? Because, I mean, you know, it's all about people. The kingdom of God is all about individuals. The parable of the lost sheep is the good shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes after the one lost sheep. How many of you know God is interested, Jesus is interested in the one lost sheep? Amen? And last week we had an interesting conversation about the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked them these words. And I'm having you turn. Well, I'm going to talk in Mark chapter 10. You can go ahead and turn your Bible to Luke chapter 10. You can turn your Bible to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to talk about what we did last week, which was Mark chapter 10. And a rich young ruler fell before Jesus last week and had this conversation with him. He said, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" That's a great question. And here's what I'm hoping. As we go through these conversations with Jesus, I'm hoping this is going to help prepare you so that when someone comes to you and asks you, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" that we will have an answer for them, just like Jesus had an answer for them. Now, Jesus was very clear with the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. He said, "Listen, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." He gave them commandments 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 that all deal with people. And the young man said, "I've done all these since I was a kid." But how many know Jesus on purpose left out commandments number 1, 2, 3, and 4, which all deal with putting God first? And we had everyone last week wag their finger, like the football players do when they run into the end zone, that they're number one. And in this young man's life, he was number one, and there was no room for God to be number one in his life. And Jesus said, "Listen, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor." And then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Listen, how hard is it for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God, one who trusts in his riches more than he does me? It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle." Everyone say camel. How many of you like the commercial when the camel's walking down the hallway? What day is it? What day is it? Hump day. Hump day. How many of you see that big old camel walking down the hallway? What day is it? Hump day. And Jesus says, it's easier for that camel right there that's walking down the hallway to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man who trusts in his riches to enter the kingdom of God. Because you've made your riches your Lord. And there's no room for me to be number one because you're making riches number one in your life. Jesus said, "Listen, if you'll just go and lose this attitude of your riches, you'll be good to go." And so that's the conversation we had last week with the rich young ruler. Today, Luke chapter 10. If you're there, say, "I got it." All right, so you're ready to follow along. "And behold, a lawyer stood up and began to have a conversation with Jesus." Now, we're not against lawyers. We're not against doctors. We're not against all. Okay, just because we're talking about lawyers today and everyone thinks of their favorite lawyer joke, we're not going there. It's not about the fact that they were a lawyer. This is just an individual who's talking to Jesus. And what's interesting to me is they're going to ask Jesus the exact same question that the rich young ruler had asked him. But the response is going to be totally different. Because how many of you know every person is unique Every person is an individual that all comes with different types of, not baggage, but certain, their past is different. Amen? Everyone has a past, don't we? My past is different than your past, but we all have a past and we all have a future. The key is we want their future to be with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26, and he said to the man, and if your Bible has red letters, these are words of Jesus. What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And the lawyer said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. What was the lawyer quoting? He was quoting the scripture when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they tried to trick him. And the Pharisees said, listen, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Because they knew they're going to be able to trick Jesus by asking him what was the greatest commandment. And Jesus come back with these exact same words. Jesus said, listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This fulfills all the commandments and all of the law. And so he came back with this smug answer that he knew Jesus was looking for. It's easy, Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbors yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. If you do this, you will live. In other words, if you fulfill these two commandments, you will inherit eternal life. But the young lawyer couldn't leave this alone, could he? He had to take it another step. He had to prove that he was good enough or better than everybody else. And the young lawyer said to Jesus, but who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Really, Jesus, who really is my neighbor? And now Jesus is getting ready to do something that he does with a lot of people. He's getting ready to rock his world with an answer that is so far above what this man was thinking about who his neighbor really is. Because I'm sure when, in East Texas, howdy, we've got this, I'm already thinking about tomorrow, we're gonna go see if Big Texas is still standing. Has anyone seen Big Texas this year? We're gonna go see Big Tex tomorrow. How many of you know is Big Texas walking in? As you walk into the park, Big Tex says, howdy, neighbor. Welcome to the State Fair of Texas. Howdy, folks. Yeah, howdy, folks. Anyway, howdy, folks. Howdy, neighbor. It's all East Texas slang. Howdy, folks. Welcome to the State Fair of Texas. How many of you know we're all about folks and neighbors? That's where we've got that down because we get on the road and we give a nice right finger wave to our friends as we drive down the road. And this man, he was thinking along those lines. And then notice the words, and again, these are words in red. These are Jesus' words. And here's what Jesus says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And that's a picture of what the world does to folks, doesn't it? It beats them down, it strips them, and then leaves them half dead. And now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and he looked, but he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. And if you want to just highlight or mark, underline that word compassion in the text of your Bible or in your tablet, this is the key to the whole story. This man had compassion. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on the oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. Jumping down to verse 37, or verse 36, Jesus now asks the question, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, you need to go and do likewise. How many of you know today, as we're talking about compassion, that even good religious people, and again, there's a quote there, good religious people sometimes find their hearts getting cold and calloused so that there's no compassion. And again, to a degree, you understand this, because it seems like everywhere you turn around, there's a need. There's someone wanting help, and they're all good causes. When you look at the statistics and know the number of million, and not just thousands, but the number of million children who woke up this morning who did not have a breakfast to eat, there was no food for them to eat, is overwhelming. The need is overwhelming for food. And how much food did we throw away this last week? We're blessed, amen. We're a blessed people. But how many know that's a real need? And so you're bombarded all the time by people saying, there's this need, and there's this need, and there's this need. And sometimes it becomes overwhelming. And you just want to go into shutdown mode with all the needs that are around you. But we can't. Church, we can't shut down when it comes to people in need. Now, unlike the rich young ruler, who had no problem with commandments 5 through 10, he had no problem with those commandments dealing with other people. His problem was in his heart with God being first. This young man that comes to Jesus is totally opposite. His problem is he doesn't love his neighbor as himself. He thinks more highly of himself than anyone else. And his attitude is, and here's a lot of people's attitude, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? If I help this person, what's in it for me? If I do this good deed and I love this person, how is this going to affect me? I mean, you know, it's not about me. Church, it's not about me. Because again, if it was about me, can I just tell you? My heart is, and there's such a balance here. Lord, help us to have this balance here. You know, because in my heart, I want to preach for an hour every Sunday. You know, I want to have worship for an hour and a half every Sunday. If it was up to me, hello? I'd preach for an hour every Sunday, and we'd have worship for an hour and a half every Sunday. But how many of you know? It's not about me. So you know what I do? I got up early this morning at 5 o'clock, and I started worshiping the Lord. If I want to worship for an hour and a half, nothing stopped me from worshiping the Lord for an hour and a half this morning. And so I did at home. But I know a lot of other folks coming in this morning that aren't quite ready for an hour and a half worth of worship and an hour worth of preaching. And so it's not about me, is it? No, it's about helping people. It's about seeing people's needs and where they're at. And so here are the three options we see in this story. Here are the three attitudes we can have, and we see them in each of the three ones. The first attitude is, this is horrible, I don't care. And unfortunately, the person who had that attitude, that was the priest. That was the pastor. He's the one. And he went like this as he saw something out of the corner of his eyes. I don't care. I don't want to get involved. I've got better things on my calendar to do today than to help somebody hurting. And yet he's the professional caretaker. The priest is the professional, gets paid to have the heart for people. And yet of all the people, the priest in this story Jesus uses takes the other way around. And again, how many times do people find themselves, I'd rather not know what is going on because that way I'm not responsible for helping. And again, there's so much need out there. It's It's almost understandable. Well, here comes the worship leader. Here comes the Levite. Things are surely going to get better. And here's the second attitude is, I don't care enough to stop and help. The first attitude is, I just don't care. I just want to stay away from getting my hands dirty with this situation. But here comes the Levite, and he's gonna come, and notice the words that he says. The Levite stops and looks at him. He stops and goes closer to him so we can see what's going on. He stops and he looks at him, and what is his response? Oh. And he walks over to the other side of the road, and he keeps walking. Man. Here's what we see in Scripture. We read this Scripture in James. Listen, when it comes to helping, once we recognize a need, once we recognize there's something that I can do. Now, there are some needs out there that are too big for me to get to. It's just too big. I can't take care of it. I may be able to do a little bit. But here's what James says. If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you comes up to them and says, oh, depart in peace, be warm and filled, be blessed. But you don't give them the things that they really need. What does it profit? What have you really done by saying, here's a worship CD. Listen to this. This will make you feel better. Well, it will make you feel better, but you know what? If their need is food, what do we have to do? We got to give them food. We can't just give them, well, I'll pray for you this week, brother. I'll pray for you. You'll be in my hearts. You'll be in our prayers. Now, again, the balance is, because there's need all around us, we have to really choose, Lord, how much do you want me to get involved in this situation? You've got to pray and ask God, how much do you want me to get? How much do I need to be involved? Or is there somebody that I can refer them to? Listen, I'm not able to help you right now, but can I tell you about the new ministry? We just opened equipment. It's called the Christmas Sharing Food Pantry. CS Food Pantry Plus, whatever it's called. We can go and get you there, and they've got food. They can help you. You might not be able to do it yourself, but you'll be able to direct them and help them to get to that place where they need to be. But the bottom line is, we got to care. We have to have some compassion. Compassion without motion is just another emotion. Can I say that one more time? You can write that down if you want. That's pretty good. Compassion without motion is just another emotion. If we're really going to, again, this is what got me so much. Yet while we were sinners, Christ demonstrated his love for us. Aren't you glad that God didn't just think his love towards us and had good thoughts towards us? Yet while we were sinners, Christ demonstrated his love for us. And so for this man, Jesus is getting, he's stepping on some toes for this poor young man. Why? Because he loves him. And he understands his selfishness is going to hinder him from entering in to the kingdom of God. Now let's get back to the original question. What must you do to inherit eternal life? That's the original question. What do I need to do to be, quote, born again? And all this stuff about helping people sure makes it seem like that we're talking about a lot of works. I want to clarify something today. We are not saved by our good works, but we are saved to good works. Let me say that again. We are not saved by our good works, but we are saved to good works. Now, here's what I wanted to do. We talked about this in our small group the other day. I said, we have to start memorizing the Bible. We have to start memorizing scriptures. And so for all the kids that are here this morning that are left in the sanctuary, I want you to take one of these cards and memorize. Start working on, let your parents help you memorize this verse that we're getting ready to put up on the screen out of Ephesians. Bring it back next week and you will have a prize for memorizing it. Okay, so John, can you pass those out to the kids for me? Hello, we're not saved by works. How do I know that? This is one of the most foundational scriptures in the Bible, and every child needs to know it. Every adult needs to know it. Ephesians chapter 2. You can turn over there if you want, or you can just look up at the screen. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace, everyone say grace. Grace. Woo, thank you, Lord, for grace. That is unmerited favor of God. For by grace, you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is by grace we've been saved. Are you thankful to God for the grace of God? Amen. We sing that song, don't we? The one of our hymns, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But how many of you know that's just that grace is just the beginning of working in our lives? We are saved by grace. We're not saved by good works. Why? Lest anyone should be able to boast. But here's what we are saved to. We are saved to good works. Because the next verse, verse 10 says this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what?
Good works.
Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're not saved by works, but we're saved to good works. And Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he wants them to understand this. That God's got a mission for every believer, for every person. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, yes. But whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, once they're saved, now has a life mission. And that is to serve. That is to work the king, to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And Jesus wanted this rich young ruler, I think, to understand that, yes, I'm giving you the information to have and inherit eternal life, but it's going to come with a price. And that is, once you become a believer and part of the kingdom of God, then there's work to be done. And that is to be my ambassadors, to be my hands extended, to be my voice to those that you come in contact with who are in need. That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How far back? We read in Psalms where it says that he has a book. And it's not the Lamb's book of life, but it's another book. And in it, it is written down our plan, God's plan for our daily life to walk in. And here's his goals for us that day. He wants us to accomplish and what he wants us to do. And that's why it's so important that when we get up in the morning, we begin to pray, Lord, what's your heart today? Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, written, you've prepared beforehand what it is I'm supposed to walk today and where I'm supposed to walk to and who I'm supposed to walk with. And God, I thank you today that you are giving compassion in my heart. That my heart today is not going to be hard and calloused when it comes to needs. In my little world that I'm going to deal with today, Lord, I thank you today that I can be your hands extended. Lord, today I'm going to be able to impact somebody's life that's in need. And I'm just privileged for the fact that I get to be in a place where, and those of you who work in the educational system will agree with me, we get to impact lives of little children every day. And they see me coming down the hallways, and you know what they do? They run to Mr. Hartley, and they want a hug from me. They want a hug. Why? Because they're not getting the love at home. They're not getting a dad at home that's telling them that they're special and they're valuable. Because in God's eyes, and this is what we have to understand, In God's eyes, people are valuable. People are valuable. And these kids, we don't understand what they're going through. Lisa started her job, first grade teaching. And the kids that she has coming into her room every day that don't think life's worth living already. First grade. We should have been in the classroom the other day when in Miss Judy's fifth grade class, one of her fifth graders, not in her room, but one of the other rooms, said, "Life's not worth it. Nobody loves me." Took their life. Fifth grade. There are people hurting out there. And if I get a chance to hug a kid and give him the hug with the love of Jesus, man, I want to, God, don't let my heart get calloused and say, "Oh, here comes another kid that wants attention and wants some of my time." Well, yeah, they do, because they're not getting it at home. And all they're getting is, they're just getting all the other attitudes from everyone else. And if they see you as a sanctuary and a place where they can come, I'm telling you, we need to be in prayer more than ever for our teachers that are trying to do this and trying to rise above all the other stuff so they can get their heart on loving kids and teaching them what they need to know. Hearts full of compassion. That's now. Here's what's interesting. As Jesus is telling the story, okay, we got a priest, then we got a Levite, and in the minds of this man, I'm sure he's thinking, next is just going to come a layperson. Right? That's the logical order. Priest, Levite, now we just have a layperson, a regular Jew is going to be next. Oh, no. Jesus says no. And then came a Samaritan. Jesus, really? Samaritan? That's the least who you would think you're going to put in the story about helping people and being the... We have these two villains, and now you're going to make the hero a Samaritan? That's a dog. Don't make the dog the hero. That's how the Jews thought of the Samaritans. They were dogs. Worthless. Oh, I love the fact that Jesus chose the down and outers as his hero. One who no one valued at all. And he says, you know, but what? This Samaritan came along and had compassion. He had compassion in his heart. And he went to him. And he just didn't look and gawk at him like the Levite did and walk his way. No, he went to him, and then he began to minister to him. He began to take care of his physical needs. He began to bandage his wounds. And he poured out the oil and the wine, and then he set him on his donkey, and he took him to the Holiday Inn. The Bible says, took him to the Holiday Inn and said, "Here, this man needs a place so that he can rest and heal and recuperate. I've got to go away. Here's some money." How many of you know that every time we decide we're going to be an ambassador for Jesus, it will cost us something. And that is the difference. That is the difference, church. For us making a difference and being compassionate and allow compassion to go through us. It will cost us something. Because again, here's really what it is. It's worship to our God. When we help other people, we are worshiping the Lord. And King David, he was very clearly, he knew he had to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And they said, "Here, well, you can just have all this." He said, "No, I need to buy this off of you. Because I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing." It's not worship if it doesn't cost me something. And this Samaritan, this person that no one thought highly of, went all this way. And he took care of him. And he gave the Holiday Inn guy the money. He said, "Here's some money. And I'll be back in a week. And if you need to spend more, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it." Wow. And so, here's the challenge for us today. What do we see in this conversation with Jesus? We see a heart. We see a heart of love. heart of compassion. We see someone who takes their eyes off themselves and says, it's not about me. Amen? Not about me. Lord, who's going to cross our paths this week? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand with me this morning? I love the way the New Living puts this, Galatians chapter 2. Because when we begin to live a life like this, we understand it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ who lives through me. Paul writes this, and I'm reading out of the New Living. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you. I am no longer driven to impress people and God, but it's Christ living in me. You see, the life I now live is not mine, but it is lived in faith in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. I cannot go back on that. I cannot go back on the fact that Christ loved me. One last verse. Can you put that next to the last slide up? 1 John. We know John 3:16, but do you know 1 John 3:16? We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And so, as a result, we also give up our lives. I know many of you, your heart is big as the state of Texas. Compassion, it just oozes out of you. But I want to encourage all of us today. Again, here's the question I had to ask myself. What happened to that pastor? What happened to that priest? And what happened to that Levite? What happened to them? They were in the ministry. They were doing the work of God in the house of God every day. And something happened to their heart. And I said, Lord, whatever that was, I do not want it to happen to me. I can't let it happen to me, Lord. I can't not become this hard, callous person. I've got to remain open and pliable because your heart is still for people, for hurting people. And our county's filled with them. Our lives are filled with hurting people. And the Lord says, I've equipped you. I've given you my spirit. I've shaped you the way that you need to do to minister to these people. That's why I gave you your personality. That's why I gave you your spiritual gifts. That's why I gave you your natural giftings so that you can help people. Father, we thank you today for this conversation that you had with this young man. First of all, we want to say thank you for having compassion on me. Can you just thank the Lord again for the compassion that he had on you? Lord, I thank you that you love me so much. And your compassion wasn't just thought, but your compassion was demonstrated on a cross. Lord, thank you for that type of love today. And now, Lord, because you demonstrated that love for us, Lord, who this week is going to cross our paths? Who this week are we going to come across that we're going to get the opportunity to love? We're going to be able to give them a hug. We're going to be able to give them words of encouragement. Maybe we're going to pull something out of our wallet or we're going to pull some food out, but we're going to meet a need this week. God, I'm excited we're sowing into Guanajuato. Lord, we're sowing into children who don't even have a pair of shoes. How easy is it for us to skip one meal out this week and instead give shoes to a little child who doesn't know you and socks and a Bible? Lord, that's just one opportunity that is before us. God, I thank you for your heart of compassion. Let it flow through me. Would you put your hand on your heart for just a second? Say, Lord, this week, let your heart flow through me. Your heart of love, your heart of compassion. Lord, what a great plan it is that we get to partner with you. Thank you that you will be our voice this week, and you will be our hands extended. We'll do this for you. We'll be your hands extended. Father, what a privilege it is to serve you. And all God's people said, amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. May he fill your